Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. If you're new to our podcast, welcome and encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous guests. We've had some great guests over the last few years, and please subscribe. This week, we're going to be talking with Dr. Brian Epperson. Brian is the founder of Human Performance Advisors, a performance and executive coaching firm. He is a full professor of business at Newman University, teaching leadership, cultural, and executive development, both the Master of Business and Doctorate of Business programs. He is a frequent speaker, a panelist, a trainer in the areas of coaching, leadership, and he's got his PhD from the University of Oklahoma, and he also is a proud veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. Looking forward to today's conversation with Brian. And it's great to have Brian joining us for our conversation, and appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to us.
Been looking forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, we met just recently, and I've heard good things about you, and would love to maybe, first off, you give a little bit of your history, a little bit of your career story.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and so I'm a big Sooner fan. So I have to ensure that I throw that out for my people. I'm currently a professor of business at Newman University. I teach MBAs and doctorate of business students, and that's where I spend a lot of my time. My research. We have to say that in the academy, my research has centered on transformation at the individual and organizational level, and really looked at those people who continually win, those people that continually get it right. What are they doing differently? How are they differentiating themselves? And also, been doing executive coaching and high performance coaching with business leaders and crazy entrepreneurs like yourself for about 20 years now. And previous to that, I was a VP of operations, and I was one of those process engineering guys that no one likes. So, yeah, that's me.
So, if you were, I'd like to ask this question to most every guest. You deal with a lot of 20-somethings, and if you were to spin back the time to when you were a 22-year-old, Brian, what advice would you give him?
By the way, I love that question. It really makes you think. I think it's a great question. If I had to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, as you can see in gray, two things. One lesson I learned from, I think, 20 years of coaching leaders and one lesson from my studies. So I'm giving you the nerd version, and I'm giving you the practitioner version. I think the number one lesson that I learned from just thousands of hours of conversation with amazing human beings and clients who have a track record of success, and I think that's important to bring up, that what I wish I knew now, what advice I'd give myself, we vastly underestimate what's possible within ourselves. And I don't want this to come across like I'm trying to be a motivational speaker of some kind. It's we don't think big enough. We in fact, I would argue that most of us don't. We think way too small. And if I had to replay the tape on that one, I would not disqualify myself as quickly about not only who I was, but what I wanted to go do. And I just trusted that and I went with it. So I think that's one of the big advice points I'd give myself. And I think in many cases, the second one came in a little bit of an unconventional way. It's funny. It's funny sometimes how this works. You spend thousands of hours studying a topic. You begin to see themes emerge, right? And you're just like, wow, who knew? And the second bit of advice I would give myself is, no matter how sophisticated or smart or good we try to be, I think the single greatest differentiator in leadership is the ability to connect with the human being. And if a leader, you know, I went into corporate life and I became a leader too soon. And I didn't know that I needed to get out of the way. I felt like I need to be the center. And I began to understand, by learning from leaders that had gone before me and that I was watching, is the growth and betterment of human beings and people is not only our responsibility, but it's also profoundly effective when you look at the output of that. This human connection is a force multiplier in business. It's a force multiplier. I have a client. I hope this doesn't go too long in this question, Mark, because it definitely opened up the kimono for me in a lot of ways. Sure. But that kind of connection with the human being is so pivotal. I work with an individual that has started 50 plus companies and sold most of them. You learn things from people like that, right? And one of the things he said is his whole notion is others-oriented leadership. And he believes, and it's something that he taught me, this is where you're going to get the last 10% out of people. And then they see what's possible in themselves and transformation occurs. And so I think those are the two things. That might have been the longest answer I've given this year. I'm sorry. Well,
no, that's perfect. So talk about, you mentioned that you were maybe put into a leadership position too soon. What do you wish you would have known before you got put into that position? After the fact, what were some of the things that you didn't understand in the beginning? I know you've mentioned some of it in your previous answer, but what are some other things?
Well, you know, I was the guy. My father was an executive. I have such great respect for my dad. And when I got my first leadership position, I didn't know what to do. And so I was trying to be good. And I was so obsessed with doing the right things and laying out the plan and the skills and the techniques. And I missed that one human element. That was so secondary because I just did not think connection with the human being fit in the corporate world. It was a bad assumption, but that's what I was operating on. And so I tried to be a big deal. I didn't attune to people. I didn't connect with them. And consequently, no matter how good I was, people weren't going to follow me. And I learned that lesson the hard way and had to apologize and managed to work out of that fairly well. But that was a tough lesson for me. And I see that repeat itself often with young people, because I see it in my college students, is where we want to go and do an amazing job, right? We think that what people are going to appreciate and respect and admire about us is what we know and what we can do. And that's great. It's important. But being able to connect at the human level with people, then they'll give you the permission and even beg you to lead them. And that was probably the biggest lesson, Mark.
We talked previous, and you shared that one of your favorite topics is oriented or others-oriented leadership.
Yeah.
Unpack that, kind of what does that mean, and just kind of how would a new or up and coming leader apply that in their life?
It's not about you. It's that simple. It's not about you. I grew up in church, and I remember hearing this concept over and over again. I think it's important because it comes up. I was serving others. And for me, that concept was so foreign to what I understood about leadership. And then I began to watch these things come out. One of the gentlemen I was just mentioning, that incredibly wildly successful entrepreneur, you'll probably see a book come out called Others Oriented Leadership from this gentleman. I'd give his name out if he had given me permission. But one of the things he said, and I'll never forget it, and it sounds so simple, but it's profound. He said, if we develop a relationship with our customers, we have margin to make mistakes, because the relationship instills all kinds of different things. But the one thing that it does instill is grace. It instills a customer being willing to give you another chance, because no business is going to get it right every time. No person is going to get it right every time. And if you've made a human connection with someone, and you've led them a certain way, and you've taken care of them, you'd be given another chance to bring in revenue. Margin, it works. Absolutely works.
So talk about, as far as the things you've coached a lot of executives and people that are successful and watch them in their careers, what are some other things that kind of stand out from, you know, the things that matter in a person's life, the way they lead? What are some things, or even maybe some missteps that you're seeing in young leaders?
I think the thing that hurts leaders the most are the things they don't see. And it's kind of coming to the table often when we don't know what we don't know. And an awareness of what a leader does not know and understand about themselves can be a detriment. This research is a little old, but the average tenure of a CEO is 18 months. Now, are those kind of results because of a lack of skill and talent and ability and any of that? No. It's the inability to tap in to the dynamic that occurs between two people. And when a leader comes to the table and does not accept the fact that they don't know what they don't know, they'll come to the table unteachable. They'll come to the table not listening, and they'll miss those tiny little nuggets that can and will transform an organization. But the lack of humility, and that's really what it is, it's a lack of humility. And again, it's perpetuated in business. We encourage it, it seems like. But when leaders begin, when there will be difficult on themselves, when they will scrutinize their own leadership ability and be teachable, I know that sounds so simple, but humility, I think, is one of the most profound differentiators in leadership. Because if you want to get kicked in the shins a lot, and you want people to question everything you do, and you want people to think that you're brilliant one day and you're a complete moron the next, get into leadership, because that's the guarantee. And it's not for the faint of heart, but you can't make it about you. That answer, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So being teachable, having people around you that can mentor you and teach you. Talk about the importance of that, and maybe even some of the people that have been influential in your life and shaping you as the person you are.
Yeah, it is so profound. One of the exercises that I love to do in class, or when I'm out doing a seminar on leadership or management or something boring like that, I always ask the people this question, no matter who it is, if it's students, if it's finance executives or farmers, doesn't matter. But I'll ask them this question: think back on all the greatest influences and leaders in your past, right? What is the one that that transformed you? What is the one that had the most profound impact? And every single time we do this exercise, it's all, they cared for me. They looked out for me. They took care of me as an employee, but they also were in front of me caring about my family, my people. And I was really, really fortunate. I had a major in the Marine Corps that he cared for us that way. And I'd still do anything for that man today. Still. Man called me up and said, hey, I need some help moving. I would go do that simply because that guy treated me like a son. And it wasn't just me. Everybody on our team, he treated that way. And there's something powerful when a leader looks at you and says, you know what? I see so much more in what's possible in you. And then they create that environment of trust where you'll do anything for that person. And then you turn around and you look in the mirror and say, oh my, look what I've become. And I think to answer that, that was Major Breslin. I think so.
So as you've looked at leaders, there was a book that's popular book called Atomic Habits. What are some of the habits that you see that people that excel as far as in leadership have developed that you think would be good for somebody to develop in their own life?
Yeah, I honestly think a lot of it is time to think. One of the habits that I practice and I do encourage my clients to practice is get your head right in the morning, right? These are morning routines where you are putting your mind on the day's intention. We have 60, 70,000 thoughts a day, depending on who's given the research, right? It is constant. And unless we are disciplined, unless we can set aside time to get our minds right and get ourselves right, we can't lead well. And we have a responsibility often, and I think that it hinges upon our ability to lead people in a direction that's not only beneficial, but it is a direction that we are keeping top of mind. Leaders mislead because they get distracted. And I think that's often another one of those underappreciated components of leadership. I think another one, I wish I was saying something super sophisticated, but it really is learning. It's learning allows a leader to go back to a place where they're teachable. Because when a leader gets to a place where they're teachable or not teachable and the ego is entirely too pronounced, they're going to fail. It's almost without exception. The ego kills us.
So that's a great segue into our next question. So as a leader, is a learner, what are some books that you recommend to those in leadership?
It's my favorite book. And again, it doesn't sound very academic. So for all my colleagues out there, they're like, oh, I can't. Wooden on Leadership. John Wooden on Leadership. Anything by John Wooden. He really got it. Unfortunately, he's passed fairly recently, but 10 national championships in 12 years speaks, results speak. And as I was talking about earlier, he understood the connection with the human being. The guy was intentional. The guy was detailed. The guy was consistent. But at the end of the day, he knew how to connect with people. In fact, one of his chapters is how to loving your players. It's a phenomenal juxtaposition when you look at leadership in sports and love your players comes into play there. So John Wooden would be one. Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. I have recommended that book to more executive leaders that struggle with how to even connect with human beings. It's sort of like EQ in a box. It really gives the right perspective on our role as influencers and leaders with people. And then finally, I have to use this one because I use it in all my grad classes, is developing the leader within you. It's simple, it's basic, but it's potent. We can get some of these fundamentals right, we'll get all the rest right. And that's something that Dr. Maxwell has laid out and made profoundly clear in this book. I think those are my three.
Yeah, those are great. Favorite quotes?
You're going to hate me for this one. You're going to hate me for this one, but every time it's long. Can I give you a long quote?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. If it's a quote and you've memorized, it's worth, worth the time.
if I'm being honest, I'm reading it right there, but I'm going to pretend sure. that I've memorized.
Okay. We won't tell anybody.
Thank you. But every time I speak on leadership, I'm haunted by this quote. And it's why I say it almost every time. And this comes from a guy named Peter Drucker, and I'll tell you about him. He was a management guru. He was considered to be the man who wrote management. Okay. I mean, that if you're getting that kind of recognition in a world, you're doing okay. You get the game. He was a professor at the Masatoshi Graduate School of Management at Claremont. And again, the guy that wrote management. I want you to hear this because this challenges me. It haunts me. It bothers me. But listen to the wisdom in Dr. Drucker. The leader who basically focuses on himself or herself is going to mislead. The leader who's dead set on the right techniques will drown in a sea of self-inflicted narcissism. The three most charismatic leaders in this century inflicted more suffering on the human race than almost any other trio in history: Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. And here it is, he brings it home. What matters is not the leader's charisma. For leadership is not the magnetic personality. That can just as well be demagoguery. It's not making friends and influencing people. That is flattery. And here it is. Leadership is the lifting of a person's vision to higher sights, the raising of an individual's performance to a higher standard, and the building of a personality beyond its normal limitations. Again, it's not about us. And if a leader can get that, it transforms everything. That was it. That was my long quote. How'd I do?
That was great. That's great. That's that is the longest quote that we've ever had on our podcast, but I think it's voted in the top three, at least from
I appreciate
top one. No, I
it, yeah, it's top one. Great. I appreciate that even more. No, isn't that profound?
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, no, I think, and I know you've spent time with John Maxwell. What have you learned from him? I have to ask that question.
Wow. What have I learned?
That's another podcast, right?
Yeah, but here's what he's the real deal. He is authentically a good man. And I think you can reach pinnacles. He coaches presidents of countries. I mean, sure. he has had a huge influence on the world of leadership. But what speaks so loudly about John is the way that he makes you feel when you connect with him, right? That is a superpower of his. I try to be like that as more than I don't, but yeah, he's sort of my model of that.
Right. So outside work, what do you like to do to recharge?
Sleep.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Sleep. Ride my motorcycle. I do that. Spend a lot of time. In fact, this weekend drove from Central Kansas to all the way to Colorado Springs and back, and got back Sunday night. So we had a great time. The second one is probably hanging out with people that are very different and better humans than I am, and just do what they do. Wife being one of them, and my good weird friends that let me go play with them. So pretty simple.
Yeah. So what do you ride? What's your motorcycle?
Well, I don't want to sound pretentious here, but it's going to come out. I've got a BMW R18B, which is the big bagger. And then I've got an Indian Scout bobber. So depending on the kind of trip I'm on, I'm going to take, I'm not proud that I just admitted I had two motorcycles. My wife's going to love that. So.
Parting advice that you would give a new leader.
Go Sooners. Again, I've been studying this topic academically and professionally for a long time. And if I had to sum it all up, leadership changes people. It can transform people in ways that you cannot imagine. But bad leadership destroys people. It erodes people. It ruins some people. And I think in many cases, when you look at the notion of leadership, we're doing sacred work here. It's sacred. And I'm not talking about that from a Judeo-Christian view or a humanistic view. I'm just looking. This stuff is sacred. And if humanity does not lead properly, if people do not lead properly, people will not flourish. People will not grow. And I think, again, if we do not lead properly, the consequences are great. And it's why the sacredness of others-oriented, if I can borrow from my friend, that's what transforms people. We can't get away from it. It's how we're wired. Parting. How about that parting advice? Maybe yeah. Top 20, top 30?
Yeah, I think so. So how would somebody learn more about your work and what you do?
I am at humanperformanceadvisors.com, and that's a little bit about my company. And if you wanted to go out at Newman University, I'm out there too, looking quite debonair with my suit coat on, which I never wear. So, humanperformanceadvisors.com would be my site, or you can just email me, beepperson@humanperformanceadvisors.com.
Great. Well, Brian, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed our conversation. I know this is going to be helpful for those. And, you know, this is one of those podcasts I'm going to go back and listen to again, because I'm sure I missed some of the deep, and I'm going to listen to that quote again for sure.
I bet you say that to all the people.
No, I don't.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I had a great time, and good to be with you again, my friend.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.